The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. And they came to Jericho. And as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Our children are now dismissed to children's church. Actually, I'm going to move that up further. That way I have more room to pace. I have a tendency to pace a lot, I know. Give them a few minutes. As it is with life in general, so it is with life in Christ. Some people get it, and some people don't. Some people get it, and some people don't. That's plain and simple, right? I mean, if we really take a close look at our gospel lection for today, we are confronted with both facts of life here. Of course, St. Mark, and we discussed this a little bit last week more in depth. St. Mark tells us in an earlier portion of this chapter that Jesus pulled his 12 disciples, his 12 apostles aside, and he spoke to them very clearly again for the third time. In verse 33, he says, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, because everything that the Scripture treated and he will be spit upon, he will eventually be put to death and flogged, and then on the third day he will rise again." Ultimately, Jesus was saying to his disciples, "This is where we are going, and this is what is going to happen." And Mark tells us that not one of them understood this. Again. For the third time. And that's so easily demonstrated for us by our text last week, where we see the James and John's bogus request. They didn't get it. Not one of them grasped what Jesus was saying again. They didn't get it. What a bunch of thick-skulled dimwits, right? Well, I can't say anything. I don't get it until my wife tells me the third time, too. Maybe I shouldn't be so harsh. Now I want us to contrast this, what we just talked about, the disciples and their response to Jesus. I want us to contrast this with the blind beggar, Bartimaeus, sitting on the roadside. as Jesus and his people were coming into Jericho. Just a little bit of... He will be at Zacchaeus' house. And then he'll go spend 2 days in Bethany with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He'll then go to Jerusalem for Palm Sunday. This interaction with the blind beggar, this interaction with Bartimaeus is actually taking place 1 week before Maundy Thursday, the eve of Christ's Passion. I mean, it's all happening just as Jesus had promised. And I want us to really pay attention to this. Out of everyone in this scene, it is the blind guy. It is the blind beggar, Bartimaeus, who sees Jesus most clearly. It's the blind guy who sees better than everybody else that can see. This guy can't see a thing physically, and yet he hears Jesus approaching. And boldly he cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy." He gets it. He gets it. I don't know if you understand just how profound his confession of faith truly is. I say that because many people don't when they read this text. What they see when they read this text is this intensely spirited cry to Jesus for alms. Of course, the Greek word for alms and mercy are very close. Mercy being the root word for alms. When they read this text, what they see is this guy who was simply begging for a handout. They see nothing more than just a blind beggar seeking nothing than a miraculous healing that is something for himself. That this guy really wasn't looking for Jesus per se, he was looking out for himself. And usually when people read that in the text, what they are really trying to do is see a lot of themselves in this guy. Unfortunately, when they read the text that way, they fail to see the truth. Number one, the Bible's not about you. It's about Jesus. I'll tell you in a little while where you can read yourself into the text. They fail to see the truth. Why? Because the confession that Bartimaeus actually said was pretty prolific. He cries out, what? Son of David. Not son of Mary. Not son of Joseph. Not son of a gun. Which I don't think they had that terminology back then. But son of David. Son of David. Son of David is specifically a messianic term. A messianic phrase. The Old Testament is filled with this term, and it always points to the Christ. It always points to the coming Messiah. It always points to God's promise of salvation coming in the flesh. In the Gospels, when this term comes up, even the Pharisees knows its use, and they use it properly. I mean, when Jesus asked them point blank, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? Of course, the Pharisees respond very matter-of-factly, he is the son of David. In that sense, they got it. Not where it counted, though. They know the scriptures, and yet they don't get it, do they? elsewhere in the Gospels, the lame, the poor, the dying, they all get it. They all get it. They all recognize Jesus as the Son of David. They get it. I mean, when Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 24, when Jesus casts out a demon from the guy who raised a commotion at the synagogue, the people were amazed and they were asking one another, "Is this guy the Son of David?" Only the Son of David, only the Messiah, only God's salvation in the flesh, promise of salvation in the flesh, only He can do such a thing. And of course the Pharisees hear this and immediately they attempt to put it down. They say, "This is not the Son of David. Matter of fact, he works for Beelzebub." Clearly, clearly they don't get it. Clearly. So, we have to ask ourselves, what about this blind beggar? What about Bartimaeus? What group would you put him in? I'd say he gets it. He gets it. But I want us to see that it goes a lot deeper than this. Why? Because the ones out in front of Jesus leading the procession into the town, which most likely was his own disciples, they're the ones telling this guy to pipe down and to be quiet as Jesus draws near to them. My friends, this isn't the Pharisees telling this guy to shut up. It was Jesus' own disciples. These are the people on Jesus' side. In fact, the language that Mark uses here is very harsh. He says these folks with the best intentions, I'm sure, no doubt. But they were actually, in verse 48, it says that they were rebuking him. Rebuking him. They were rebuking Bartimaeus as he cried out. My friends, that is a harsh term, even in the original language. It is a harsh term. And this wouldn't be the first time that the disciples had done such a thing. Remember when people were bringing their small children and their babies to Jesus for them to bless him? Remember that? We just talked about it a few weeks ago. Remember that? It was his disciples that were rebuking them too and telling them to leave Jesus alone. My friends, they didn't get it then and they don't get it now. But even though they didn't get it, this blind guy, the guy who couldn't see, this Bartimaeus, he wouldn't let it detour him because he got it. He knows who's coming down the road. He doesn't care what other people think of him. He knows. The more he's told to be quiet, the more he cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Have mercy." What exactly does this mean? What exactly was he asking for? And some people will sit there and look at it and say, well, he's a blind beggar. Obviously, he's asking for alms. Or he's asking for a favor, asking for a healing. Might I suggest, brothers and sisters, that he doesn't ask for anything other than what he says. He asks for mercy. He asks for mercy. That's his intention, was to cry out for mercy. The Greek word for eleison, the Greek word for mercy, simply means to ask a superior to be gracious and kind to one far lower and undeserving. Far lower and undeserving. That means that there's nothing transactional about this. There is not this tit for tat. There's not this let's make a deal. None of that. Notice, too, that I said that the cry for mercy is made by one who confesses that they are completely undeserving of anything. Completely undeserving of anything. They know that they don't deserve a moment of time. They know that they don't deserve even a glance or even an acknowledgement of their lowly existence. My friends, the call for mercy isn't a call to highlight the self in any way. But a call for mercy is rather a plea for the grace of the superior. Not because of you, but in spite of you. It's all about the superior's grace. How often we don't get that. How often we don't get that. Why do I say that? Because, well, when life hits the fan, things don't go as planned, we cry out with a very self-righteous indignation, not Lord, have mercy, but Lord, what's the deal? What's the deal? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know all that I do for you? Don't you see that I've been a card-carrying Anglican for so long, Lord? Don't you see my giving statements? Don't you see all the good that I do and all the bad, the stuff that I stay clear of? Don't you see any of that? Doesn't any of that count for anything? Have some mercy, God. Have some mercy. How often we just don't get it. We don't get it at all. And the sad reality here is that we could go on and on and on about the many and various ways that we truly don't get it. We don't get God's law. We don't get God's gospel, at least not as well or as clearly as we think we do. We put that proof on display all the dang time. How often we just don't get it. We only see what we want to see. We only see things for the way we think they should be instead of seeing things for the way they really are. And you can deny that this applies to you all you want, but once again, it is put on full display all the time. We just don't get it. We're so worried about what others might see and say. We're so worried about what we want to see or not see. My friends, if we could only see ourselves the way that God sees us, and we would be crying out, Kyrie eleison, God, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy. And that's the whole point of this text, my friend. That's the whole point of this text. As we begin to prepare our hearts, because we're getting to that time of year again, as we begin to prepare our hearts to enter into the season of Advent, as we prepare to renew our journey from the birth canal of the Virgin Mary to the manger and then on to Calvary, to His resurrection with the renewed cycle and calendar. My friends, I can't make you see the truth. I can't make you see the truth. I can't make you recognize the truth that Jesus died for your sin, that he had to die, because that's how heinous and how great your sin is. Can't make you recognize that the corpse of sin staring back at you from the mirror of God's word is you. You're the man. Can't make you see just how undeserving you are even to wake up in the morning and have something to even complain about. Or having a pulse, or not burning in hell for the sin that we do and for the sin that we are. Nor can I make you see how great and how gracious and tender and forgiving and how merciful Christ is for you and for all people. I can't make you see that your God and your Lord is coming to you and he's standing before you holding out his blood-bought gifts of redemption and grace in his word and in his blessed sacraments. I can't make you see that there's nothing transactional about this at all. My friends, this is grace in action, in the flesh. Here is God. Here is his rich and undeserved grace, undeserved mercy, undeserved peace being freely held out to you this morning. I can't make you see that. I can't make you see any of this. But God can. But God can. God can, and God does. Through the hearing of his word, God does. That's another point so often missed in Mark's recounting of this event. That blind beggar was sitting along the road where Jesus was drawing near. The original Greek says that he was sitting and waiting along the chodon, the way. Some translations translate it as the way. The ESV translated it as the roadside. The way. My friends, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. St. Mark here is purposefully and catechetically, he's using these words. This blind beggar was sitting and he was waiting and he was crying out where Jesus was. More importantly, he was sitting, waiting, and listening. He was listening. He was listening. He had no eyes to see. He was listening. He heard the truth. He heard Christ. And he responded to Christ. He cried out to Christ. So it is with all of us beggars who by faith get it. And I know that you may not like to refer yourself to such, but we are all beggars. Every single one of us. We're all beggars. And I only mention this because we're finishing up the movie Luther and Theology on Tap tomorrow night. This isn't in the movie, but it's still true. Martin Luther, the great German reformer, he had a slip of paper in his pocket when he died. And that slip of paper in his pocket said this: I'm not German, so bear with me. Wir sind alle Bettler, das ist wahr. Do we have any people with the gift of interpretation? None? Okay.
Well, I had to Google translate it. And it says, we are all beggars. This is true. We are all beggars. This is true. It is true. It is true. My friends, Martin Luther got it. He understood God's truth. Why? Because he meditated on it every day, obviously until the day he died. He got it. He got it. What roads? What paths? What ways do you seek out and you stake out? What ways do we seek out? What paths do we stake out? Shouldn't we cry out with Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, or with Peter in John chapter 6, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Lord, where else would we be? You're it. You're it. You're the way. You're the truth. You're the life. My friends, faith gets that. Gets it. We are all beggars. We come to God with nothing to offer whatsoever. Nothing to offer. Nothing in our hands. The only thing we bring to our salvation is our sin that needs forgiving. We come empty, we seek His grace and mercy, and God just does that. He fills our hearts, He fills our minds, He fills our souls with His rich grace and peace and life, and He fills us with His body and His blood, with His word and His promise. And my friends, that word of God, that law and gospel, word of God, it works. It works miracles, miracles of death and life. It penetrates the darkness of our sin. It penetrates the blindness. It penetrates the deafness. It penetrates the apathy. It penetrates the lifelessness. And it gives life. And it gives life. The blind are made to see. The deaf are made to hear. Their ears are opened. The lame walk. And the dead are resurrected back to life. It works miracles. My friends, this is your reality right now. This is your reality right now. God is at work. In the same life-giving word, right this very moment. And when the eyes and ears of faith are enlivened and opened, when the body of sin is repentantly mortified and that old Adam is daily drowned in God's promise of baptismal grace, the new man arises and emerges, leaping up like the deer, anxious and ready and willing to give thanks to God for all His undeserved goodness and all His undeserved grace. When the baptized child of God recognizes the amazing and undeserved grace already shown to them in Christ, without their first having to ask for it, without them having to beg, without having first to do their part in order to try and earn God's favor and to impress Him for such grace. When this justified grace is rightly and faithfully recognized for the amazing gift that it is, the rest of life that follows? Sanctified life? It's rightly seen for what it is, which is a privilege and an opportunity to serve and thank God by serving the neighbor, by faithfully bearing our crosses, and make the joy of peace, the joy and peace of Christ known through our cross bearing and our neighbor bearing, or our cross bearing and our neighbor serving. That's it. That's it. Either you get it or you don't. There's no prescriptions. There's no to-do lists. There's no tricks. There's no gimmicks. There's no other way to help you find your purpose or your way leading to your best life now, or at least a more fulfilling, rewarding, and pleasure-filled life. My friends, there's none of that. None of that. And those of you who get it, understand. And I thank God that you do. Beloved, here is Christ. This morning, here is Christ. Here is the only way, the one and only way. Here is the fount and the source of all goodness, of all grace, of all love, of all peace. Here is God right here where He promised to be, with you always and with you right now, bestowing on you His faithful and merciful love, full measure. A merciful love that walked that way of the cross that no one else could walk. Walking that way for you. Walking that way as you. Making full and complete atonement, a complete payment for you as you. With the sacrifice of His own body and blood on the altar of the cross. My friends, it is true, it is true, it is true. Because it is finished once and for all. And He comes to you today with that same victorious body and blood. Can I shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Can I say it? My friends, either you get it or you don't. My prayer is that those who have ears this morning hear and cry out in thanks and praise, for your Lord has already answered your prayers before you even asked. And He has had mercy on you in Christ, through Christ, and only because of Christ. Amen. To Him alone be all glory and honor. Ooh. Let's pray.